Yo, Bruce Sophia here. Love for you to follow me on Twitter at Bruce Sophia as we explore the rich heritage of our Christian faith.
Welcome to Change by the Word. I'm your host, Blaine Booth, and you're listening to Dr. Bruce Sophia of the Gloucester County Community Church in Washington Township, New Jersey.
Every believer has this right in Christ Jesus to speak. But I might just say, don't presume that you have the right to demand. The privilege he has given to you is in faith, believing that we ask. And we seek and we knock.
It's the never-changing truth in an ever-changing world.
Now I'm changed by the word. Your promise.
Let's continue our study series in the book of Genesis. Here's our teacher, Bruce Sophia.
You see the privilege we have in prayer? Jesus has given us all a phenomenal, beautiful, precious privilege to enter directly into the presence of the Heavenly Father with boldness. And the boldness is the person of Jesus. He allows us to enter into the presence of God free of the fear that if there's sin in our life or whatever, God would strike us dead. Because Jesus has removed it and He presents us perfect, holy and blameless and perfect before the Father. That is our boldness. Look at verse 27 in this same chapter. Then Abraham spoke up again. Next week we'll cover this to some degree, not this point, but this portion of the chapter. Abraham pleading for Sodom and Gomorrah, or particularly Sodom. And Abraham spoke up again and said, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes." Abraham recognized who he was, and he recognized who the Lord was. And we need to recognize who we are, and we need to recognize the privilege and the honor we have of approaching the Father through the person of Jesus Christ. And be confident that since He's giving you an ear, that He wants you to speak. And that's what Abraham did. God had given him an ear. God had came and visited him, and now he had the opportunity to speak. Every believer has this right in Christ Jesus to speak. But I might just say, don't presume that you have the right to demand. The privilege He has given to you is in faith, believing that we ask. And we seek and we knock. And the promise is that if you ask, you will. And if you seek, you will. And if you knock, yes. See the difference? One, you come in humility and you say, "Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege I have of entering your presence through the person of Jesus Christ. And now that I'm here, may I ask of you, and may I seek, and may I knock." Not, "Heavenly Father, you know who this is?" Now, we have that authority to say that to the devil in the name of Jesus. But let's remember our position in Him. Thirdly, Abraham wants the Lord to spend some time with him. And I like this. He says, "Hey, Lord, you want to stop in?" And he didn't say, "Hey, Lord," but I'm just putting it modern day English. "Hey, Lord, you want to stop in? Have a glass of iced tea. It's hot. Put a little lemon in it." It says a piece of bread. Isn't that what it says? A morsel of bread. But what does he do? He doesn't give him a morsel of bread. He doesn't give him just a glass of iced tea. He gives him a steak dinner. And boy, did they know how to eat. We haven't eaten till we eat like that. The bread was fresh. The woman made it. Sarah made it right there. Hot out of the oven. freshly churned butter and cheese and milk on warm bread. And then he goes out and he says, I'm going to find the choicest calf. Now that's fresh meat. No steroids, no dyes to make it look right, you know, no preservatives in the bread. I mean, right there, you're eating the real stuff. No wonder they live to be over 100 and have all that junk in their food. Yo, even to this day, the Bedouins live to be over 95 if they can live past the age of 5. They can make it past childhood diseases. They live to be 95 and over. And so here it is. And I might just say something. Now, I'm not opposed to vegetarians. I think everybody has their right to eat what they want to eat. But I might say here that verse 8 tells us that the Lord and the angels ate meat. Just what this says. It says he prepared the calf, the bread and the butter, and it says they ate it. Okay? So, don't let anybody push their own personal philosophy or opinion or convictions on you as the Word of God, because that is not true. And I might mention something. Not only did they eat meat here, but they ate and they eat and the Lord eats in heaven. That's one of the pleasures of life, eating. That's got to be a part of heaven, you know, eating. Look at these verses. Just jot them down if you're taking notes. Psalms 78:25. Luke 22:16-30. Acts 10:41. And Hebrews 13:2. Now some people, it's more than a pleasure. Eating, it becomes a sin. But it's supposed to be a pleasure, all right? If you need those verses again, you could see me after service. I'll give them to you. Now, you might ask, how come she fixed 20 quarts of flour? I found that of interest. That's what it says in verse 6. If you have a little footnote, he said, get three seahs, I guess that's how that's pronounced, of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread. And actually, it's 22 liters or about 20 quarts. Now, three men aren't going to eat 20 quarts of bread. That's quite a bit, isn't it? And when you think about this point, it's beautiful. And the point is this. Why did she make so much? Because the whole household was going to eat. That's why. It wouldn't last. It'd go bad in that kind of heat. The whole household was going to eat. So it wasn't just Abraham and Sarah who saw the Lord and the angels. It was his whole household. Isn't that the way it is with the Lord? Why does he give a blessing? So that you can share it with someone else. That's why. And the blessing was for Abram and his whole household, just not for him alone. So if God gives you a blessing here, don't hoard it. Don't go home and put it in your closet. Share it with somebody. Take it out with you. Because that's what the Lord did. That's what he wants us to do. Now, what about Sarah? Verses 9-15. Let's read those. Where is your wife Sarah? They ask. In the tent, Abram said. And then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was beyond him. And Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years. And Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself and thought, after I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? And then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. And Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. And the Lord said, yes, you did laugh. Now, what about Sarah? The Lord is speaking to Abraham, and he says, I want Sarah to hear this. Where's Sarah? Where's your wife? Now, maybe Sarah came to the entrance of the tent. Or maybe he just made sure she was listening. But he wanted her to hear. And he says, she'll have a son, and it'll be this time next year. And her first response is that she laughs because she's barren. She's beyond the age of childbearing. And God's response to her laughter is that he says, why did she laugh and say? Now, I want you to notice the wisdom and the beauty in the Lord's response. In communicating this miracle to Sarah, that she is going to have a son, the Lord performs a miracle. Do you see it? He enforces the miracle by performing a miracle. He read her mind. He read her inner feelings, her inner thoughts. That's a miracle. Only God can do that. So God is now teaching Sarah what he's been trying to teach her husband all along, and that is nothing is impossible with God. Absolutely nothing. And the Lord again repeats this promise to Sarah via Abraham. He doesn't speak to Sarah. And Sarah's second response, in fear, she lies. You know, most times when we lie, we probably lie out of fear. And she lied. And the Lord simply says to her, yes, Sarah, you did laugh. And that's all. Now let's look at a little background on Sarah for a moment. She's been with Abraham through all of this. She's never heard God speak, never once. Though she should have believed she did when he spoke to her husband because they were one. And all she'd ever heard was what Abraham told her. And then, at this point in the relationship, I have a tendency, or I believe, that the relationship is really strained. There's some tension between Abraham and Sarah. And I believe there's tension here because, first of all, she's probably skeptic. She's a skeptic. She's full of skepticism. She's full of anxiety and bitterness. And here's a possible conversation. And I think this will let you see it. Now, I'm going to practice my drama on you. Nonsense, Abraham. You've had another one of those hallucinations. I really thought you were over those problems. I mean, it's been 13 years since you thought you heard God's voice. I really think your conversations with God have been in your mind all along. I know it's hard to believe, Sarah, but I saw him, I saw God, and I did hear his voice. Honestly, it was not my imagination. Well, what do you think he said to you this time? We made a mistake, Sarah, a bad mistake. I should never have tried to produce a child by Hagar. I mean, God has told me very clearly that you are supposed to be the mother of my son. Of that promised seed. Me? Sarah says. Now I know you're crazy. I mean, Abraham, you know, I can't bear children. I've never been able to. And even 13 years ago, it wouldn't have been possible. That's where we made our mistake. It's not possible with God. I mean, it's not impossible with God. He is God Almighty. El Shaddai, he can make it possible, even right now. Sarah shakes her head. Abraham, have you lost your senses completely? You've even forgotten how old I am. And by the way, Abraham, look at yourself. And Abraham says, you're 90 years old, Sarah, and I'm 99, and I know that. And so does God. In fact, that's been a part of his plan all along. Our son is to be a miracle child, a child born in our old age. How do you know that? God told me. God told you. God told you, Abraham. You know, I'm fed up with this whole thing. I tried to help out. Remember, I gave you Hagar, my own personal slave, into your arms. And what did I get? When she became pregnant, she made fun of me. She laughed at me. And when I drove her out, with your permission, Abraham, God appeared to her and sent her back with that wild kid of yours. You know, Abraham, I bet she made that whole story up. God didn't appear to her. She just wanted to be back in this household. That's all. Now think about it. Think about Sarah's plight. God's never spoken to her. He's spoken to her husband, and now he speaks to her handmaiden, Hagar, in the wilderness, but he's never spoken to Sarah. She shouldn't, but it's obvious and easy to see why there'd be some bitterness there, and skepticism, and anxiety. And all of a sudden in this conversation, she starts to think, you know, maybe Hagar really made this thing up. God never spoke to her. Anyway, maybe this whole thing's made up. Did you ever feel like that? And that's where she is right now. And Abram says to her, Sarah, and he just holds her for a few moments. And Sarah says, I'm sorry, Abraham. I'm so confused. I meant well, but it just didn't turn out right. I guess I really am bitter. I know how you feel. It's been a rough 13 years for all of us. But God hasn't forsaken us, Sarah. I just misunderstood him. It's mostly my fault, not yours, that all of this has happened. Sarah says, I want to believe you, Abraham. I want to believe that God really will work a miracle. But right now, I just can't believe it. Now, I believe that gives us some insight into why God responded to Sarah's lie the way he did. He didn't rebuke her. Do you notice that? All he does is correct her. He just says, yes, Sarah, you did lie. See, he understood all those feelings and all those emotions. And I think it's important as Christians that we understand that that's why God doesn't always react the same way to every person, to every government, to every family, to every church, to every circumstance. He knows what's under it all. And how long it took Sarah to overcome embarrassment and to lower her defenses and to admit her bitterness and fear and unbelief, we do not know. But we do know this, that ultimately she responded. And I'm not going to have you turn to it, but just listen to it. Hebrews 11:11. By faith, Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. By faith, that means she believed. By faith, Sarah herself received the ability to conceive. If she hadn't believed, she would not have received the ability to conceive. That's what that verse says. And what's all this say to us today in closing? When you pray, believe God and expect an answer. I believe Abraham was praying to see the Lord again, and that's why he recognized him instantly, because he was looking for him when the Lord came by. 13 years, but he came by. Secondly, the Lord is very much aware of our inner feelings and our thoughts, and his ultimate purpose is to bring them into subjection to his will. That's what he wants to do. Now, he won't force you. Your will is your own. But he'll do everything possible within the boundary he has set up for himself. And if you'll let him, then it will be for your best. And as Christians, we must not be overly concerned or disillusioned if there are aspects of God's dealing with us that we do not completely understand. And turn with me to the book of Isaiah, Song of Solomon, Isaiah chapter 55, and let's read verse 8 and 9. The Lord speaking, and he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And you see, God was dealing with Sarah the only way possible to make her a genuine and a true believer. She had the choice to respond or not to respond, but she responded, and the result was the blessing. And you know, possibly this morning, there are people here that God has dealt with the only way possible. The only possible way He could deal with you. Now you say to me, Pastor Bruce, If God had dealt with me this way, I would have responded a long time ago. No, you wouldn't have. Who knows your inner thoughts? Who created you? He did. And He is dealing with you the only way possible to bring you to Him, to make you a true believer. And you might say, well, if He had done such and such, I would have responded a long time ago. What about today? Your opportunity is to respond today. And He's allowed everything in your life, and He's worked out the pieces, even your messes, even all your mistakes, all your sins. He's used them in a marvelous and beautiful way to bring you into the relationship He wants you to be into. And He offers you that. He offers you that this morning.
So for those of you who have yet to receive Christ, you know, it could be no fault of your own.
Yeah.
You know, you grew up in a church and nobody ever said, hey, there had to be a time when you had to personalize your faith, where you had to receive Christ for the forgiveness of sin. I remember Florence Littower saying, I went to church all my life, and never heard that I had to receive Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. So I didn't even know if I understood that I needed to receive Him for my sins. I knew I was a sinner, but I just thought that if I lived a good enough life, that would cover my bases.
Right.
So I don't know what denomination you come from, but Scripture's clear. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And yet there's a remedy. Believe the truth about the remedy. But God demonstrates His love towards us, Romans 5:8, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Understand that when we receive Christ, therefore now is there no condemnation to those who are in Him, Romans 8:1. I would say this throughout the prison. Guess what? You don't have to be held in bondage. You can have freedom inside these walls. Therefore is there now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And for those listening, you know, that sentence of sin doesn't have to be stamped upon you. You can be stamped pardon. See, commit your life to His righteousness. Say, I'll be a follower of Christ. Does it mean you're going to be perfect? No. But I'll tell you what it does mean. You know who your daddy is.
Amen.
And when you sin, you feel absolutely awful, miserable, because you know that what you're doing is grieving your dad.
That's right.
And that's how you know you belong. So for those of you who have yet to receive Christ, pray this prayer with me. Just say, Father in heaven, thank you for loving me. Forgive me for the things I've done that are wrong. I confess to you that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, Blaine, what do they do?
Are you saved? Not sure? Well, we have designed a pamphlet to help you with your new decision to receive Jesus. Those of you who prayed with Pastor Bruce today, we would love to send you an ABC pamphlet and a free guidebook entitled, What Now? Just call us at 1-800-CHANGED. That's 1-800-242-6433. Changed by the Word is a listener-supported radio ministry. Your prayers and financial support enable us to share the good news of Jesus Christ throughout the world. We constantly hear from those listening not only here in the United States, but from 70-plus nations around the world. That only happens through the generous gifts of our Changed by the Word partners. We affectionately call them Good Sams. Those of you who have been blessed by Changed by the Word and believe its message is worth sharing, consider partnering financially with us. Go to www.cbtw.org and click on the Support CBTW icon on the top toolbar, or simply call us at 1-800-CHANGED. That's 1-800-242-6433 and join our Good Sam team. Our prayer is to see 260 new Good Sams each year. Changed by the Word, the never-changing truth in an ever-changing world.